Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. And stay tuned for Talking.Golf to find out how to score a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls when you make the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. And alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, we welcome you into Talking.Golf, the first Talking.Golf for March. And Gary the Groundhog from our headquarters in Caledonia, you were right. We are going to have golf this weekend in Wisconsin. Your story that we posted yesterday to Wisconsin.Golf, I think, is a welcome sight for golfers everywhere. Not a lot of courses, but enough to say the 2022 golf season has arrived.
Yeah, Rob, a smattering of courses in the southern part of the state, across the southern, 20, 30 miles of the state, maybe a little farther north. But, you know, we're going to have a nice weekend, Rob. You know, high of 57 in Milwaukee. I think it's going to crack 60 in the Madison area. But I'll tell you what, you go, you know, another 100 miles north and they still have quite a bit of snow on the ground, and another 100 miles on top of that, and they have, you know, 20 inches. So it's funny. It's not like Florida, Rob, where, you know, in Miami it's 84 and in Orlando it's 79. In Wisconsin, you know, we've got 60 degrees on the border and we've got, you know, 25 degrees up in Superior. So it's the golf season comes in stages in our neck of the woods here.
Absolutely. And to that point, I did research high temperatures for today, Saturday, Sunday, and then next Friday, because it is all over the map, literally and figuratively. Milwaukee, as we record the podcast here on a Friday, was looking at a high of 38, but as you said, going to 57 degrees tomorrow. Madison going from 43 to 62, but winter weather advisories in Wausau and Eau Claire and a winter storm watch in Superior tonight. So again, our state, very different from a lot of them, where you've got the opportunity to golf in the southern part of the state, no opportunity in the north. In a week from today, Gary D'Amato, 33 is the high temperature in Milwaukee, and that'll be the warm spot in Wisconsin, going all the way down to a warm high temperature of, or a cold high temperature of 17 in Superior next Friday. I think we've got to take this in stages, but at least we know that maybe, just maybe, winter is on its way out.
Yeah, let's hopefully we get some sun, even on those colder days, just get some nice warm sun going. And I'm looking at the extended, at least for Milwaukee, there's a chance of snow in a couple days on Monday and another chance on next Friday. But it doesn't look like we're going to have a big snow event. So that's one thing I hate, Rob. You know, you get your clubs out, you go out, you get that first round or two of the year, and all of a sudden you get an 8-incher and it's another, you know, 3 weeks or a month before you can play again. So as long as the snow keeps away, we can handle a cold day here or there because we know it's going to warm up.
Well, as someone who used to cover the state high school basketball tournament a lot, you know, there was always that myth that, you know, every year during the boys tournament, there was a major snowstorm. One of the other things that hit was a trend in all my years covering high school sports was the day of the girls sectional championship basketball games and the boys regional championship games, where there's a lot of travel all over the place. It was always good weather, and that's what it'll be Saturday. As you said, is highs in the 60s in Madison. And, you know, that's not bad this time of year.
No, I mean, that's, I think the record tomorrow in Milwaukee is like 60 or 61, and we're going to get close to at least matching the record. So that's really warm, seasonally warm. But then, as you mentioned, you know, it gets cold again next week. So patience is the key, Rob. Patience is the key here.
And for those who haven't seen Gary's story on Wisconsin.golf about the rallying call for Wisconsin golfers appears to be right around the corner, the let them play. You talked to a number of golf course owners, operators, and what's the message to golfers in terms of being patient and in terms of, you know, how they approach the whole delicate thing as to when to open?
Yeah, a lot of courses, Rob, are getting calls from golfers who want to play. Understandably, they're itchy to get out and play. You know, they're watching golf on TV. They're watching, the Florida swing, and everyone kind of gets amped up to play now. But, you know, there's still some frost in the ground. There's still some standing snow, like along tree lines and, in shady areas. So we're not quite out of the woods yet as far as weather goes. And, you know, it might be another 2 or 3 weeks before we really start getting those 55 and 60 degree days in succession, which is what it takes to warm the soil up. So, and the night temperatures too, it's got to be above freezing at night. So yeah, everyone's saying, you know, we want to open, but we're cognizant of our turf. We want to be careful that we don't, you know, hurt our golf courses. So a few of them have opened or are opening this weekend. And then I think there'll be a trickle effect over the next few weeks, Rob.
And we've started our golf course openings list on Wisconsin.golf. As Gary documented in his story, Spring Valley Country Club in Salem opened on Wednesday with golfers. As we record the podcast, the golf club at Camelot in Lemira had its first golfers, and opening tomorrow, at least on paper, Evergreen Country Club in Elkhorn, Muskego Lakes Country Club in Muskego. Gary, as I surveyed a lot of different Facebook pages around the state for golf courses, it struck me, I think it was Ives Grove and Browns Lake down in the Racine area, very adamant about the fact that they're not going to open because the course just isn't ready. And, you know, there is that, that perception that sometimes maybe golf courses open too soon, they're just going after the money. But at the same time, there's a lot of golf courses that are set in areas where, you know, the snow melts early, the ground, their frost lifts early. It's just different for every course, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it it's almost in a strata. As you go farther north in the state, obviously it takes longer to get the course ready to be open. You know, courses are going to be opening this weekend, a few of them, as you pointed out. But boy, Rob, when you go up north and you talk about Wausau and Rhinelander and, points north, Stevens Point, I think we're looking at them. We're weeks away from playing at those places, I think.
I liked the quote that you had in your story from Dan Dreyer at Kenosha County. His saying is opening of the greens on St. Patrick's Day. That's probably a good goal for everybody.
Yeah, I think, they're hoping to open Dan Dreyer's hoping to open the two Kenosha County municipal courses, Petrifying Springs and Brantdale Links. He was shooting for the 11th of March. He doesn't think that's going to happen. So now he's shooting for the 17th. That seems to be the sweet spot. Nagawaki, Tom Hallett told me that their average opening date is March 22nd. So I think the sweet spot is like the 15th through the 25th, maybe that 10-day span. That's when I think you'll see a lot of courses, you know, weather dependent, of course. But I think that's when you'll see a lot of courses join your list as far as opening.
And you mentioned that, a couple of the higher end courses in the state actually set their dates well out in advance so that they, you know, don't disappoint anybody. Erin Hills, you reported, Gary, May 6th in Century World, which hasn't been open now for a couple of years, June 1st. That'll be a much anticipated opening.
Oh, it sure will, Rob. You know that. Yeah. Like you said, the 2 years of being going dark, COVID for 1 year. And then last year they wanted to open toward the end of the year, but they had some supply chain issues with building their hotel adjacent to the 18th fairway. And they decided rather than interrupt play while construction was ongoing, they would just stay shut, stay closed. So I think a few groups that had booked reservations, you know, big groups later in the summer, they honored those groups. But basically, Rob, Century World has had no play for 2 years now. So I can't wait to get up there, Rob, when it opens. I'm really looking forward to seeing the hotel, to seeing the golf course without a single divot hole in the fairways and without any ball marks on the greens. And, of course, we've written about they're going to raise their green fee to $275. That's pretty pricey, but it does include all you can eat and drink for the entire day, as long as you're on the golf course, at various stations throughout the course. You can grab a six pack of beer if you want, or a six pack of hot dogs, whatever suits your fancy.
Well, another thing that you talk about paying for your golf, and I thought this was interesting in your story about respect to Wild Rock Golf Club in Wisconsin Dells. There are like a number of courses around the state that are pre-selling rounds of golf this year. And you tell Pat Stein told you that they've already topped last year's pre-sale totals for the year. And that tells me a lot of people are spending this extra time waiting for the season to come by getting online and seeing what deals are out there. I think I've seen a similar thing for Bullseye Golf Club up in Wisconsin Rapids, where they were pre-selling some rounds. And a lot of courses seem to be doing that as part of their marketing effort to get, you know, a lot of their rounds booked even before the season starts.
That's I thought that was pretty impressive that they sold 1,800 rounds in their pre-sale period, which goes from Christmas to the first week of April. And they're already at 2,000, 1,800 last year. They're already at 2,000 with a month to go in that pre-sale. So, you know, they're going to get several hundred more rounds probably. And I think people are looking for deals and bargains and locking in that $59 rate at Wild Rock. That's a great rate for that golf course. As you know, Rob, it's a great golf course.
Gary, I think you've established that you're an avid golfer in all weather, but at this time of the year, what's your threshold for wanting to go out and actually play? You know, I mean, obviously you see the temperature tomorrow and you think I got to be out there, but at the same time, you know, in Wisconsin, typically the wind blows a lot with those temperatures. And sometimes we get, you know, a little bit of rain that kind of pops up. What is your threshold for starting the season as far as weather?
I'm going to be out there tomorrow hitting balls, Rob. With 58, 59 degrees in Milwaukee and down by me in Caledonia, no reason not to go out. You know, there's two ways to look at it, Rob. If you want to just go out and hit balls and practice in a field or play golf on a course, I think, you know, it's got to probably be 42 to 44 degrees and not a lot of wind for me, and I can handle that. But then, you know, there's a lot of ranges around here that have heated bays, Rob. And, you know, you can go in those things when it's, you know, 20 degrees out. As long as the wind isn't blowing in at you, you're very comfortable under those heating lamps. So, you know, I've hit balls a couple times this winter on some pretty cold days.
And that's a good point. The driving range up at Camelot also opening today with the golf course. And, you know, again, you really at this point just want to get a club in your hand, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm swinging in the house. I'm afraid I'm going to take a divot in my carpet. So that wouldn't go over too well on the home front. So, yeah, I've got to get outside and hit some balls, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I know I won't be alone. That's for sure.
Well, as a companion to the story that you wrote on the courses opening this week, Gary, we also posted a story from our Wisconsin.golf yearbook, which will be mailed out to all the WSGA members. If you're a member of the WSGA, you'll get both the Wisconsin.golf yearbook and the first of our two issues this year of Golf Time Midwest magazine. But you also wrote about, again, Wisconsin as being another hotbed for destination golfers, which I think is also why we're seeing perhaps, the cost of golf, the way golf price is structured like at Central World changing, because there are a lot of people that are coming to play golf in the state that don't have Wisconsin zip codes, behind their name. It's people from all over the country, all over the world.
Rob, we've got, I think, 10 courses in the top 100 in the Golf Digest list and 7 in the top 50. Could you have imagined that, Rob, 25, 30 years ago when you were starting to cover golf at the State Journal? I mean, I couldn't imagine that we would have this level of golf, the great golf courses, and all the major championships have come here, which shine a spotlight on these courses and it's a snowball effect, get more people to come playing because they see them on TV. But Rob, I couldn't have imagined this, you know, in 1990 that we were going to see what we're seeing.
No, that's a great point, because when we were back in that era, Gary, we would turn on TV in January and February and see, you know, tournaments played at places like Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach and saying, boy, what must it be like to play a course like that? And then all of a sudden we got Century World, we got Erin Hills, we got the courses at Kohler, now we have the courses up at Sand Valley. I think in particular the Kohler courses and Whistling Straits being on the lake, I thought really took it to a whole nother level. I think Black Wolf Run, with all that Pete Dye and Herb Kohler were able to do to create, you know, such dramatic green complexes, rolling fairways in areas that, you know, were just essentially farmland before that, you know, really, you know, took it to another level. But to be able to sit here and look at courses on TV now and say, yeah, those are pretty good. We've got some pretty good stuff close to home. It really has changed.
I laugh, Rob, when I think of when Herb Kohler opened up the original 18 holes at Black Wolf Run and charged $51 for 18 holes. And his team around him was telling him, that's too much. Nobody's going to pay $50 to play golf in Wisconsin. You almost have to laugh at that, Rob, because there's probably 75 courses in our state that charge, $50 now. And there's probably, 10 courses that charge, between 100 and 400. So, we've come a long way, and what Herb Kohler did up at in Kohler and on the lake in the town of Haven with Whistling Straits, that just started a building boom that gave us, Aaron Hills, stuff at Sand Valley, the Bull at Pioneers Farms, Country Club of Wisconsin, which is now Fire Ridge. I mean, the Bog, all these courses have come online since Herb Kohler did his thing.
It's funny because you brought that up, because I was actually, when I was editing your story for the yearbook and saw the $58, I had to go back. When I first started at the State Journal, Glenn Miller, the legendary sports editor, and then our boss, John Hughes, and his wife, Linda, were kind of the three golf people at the State Journal. And they started the Wisconsin State Journal Golf Guide, where they went and researched all the green fees. So I went back and looked in the newspaper.com archive, because I thought Century World was close to that Black Wolf Run rate. And because I can remember there was a similar fuss when Century World opened, they're never going to pay that much for golf. And the first full year it was open in 84, it was $25 for 18 holes. And I combed through the book to find out there. I knew there was one other course that was close. And I think it was the Brute down at Lake Geneva at what is now Grand Geneva Resort. And it was, I think, 20. But every other 18-hole course, there was maybe one or two over $10 for 18 holes in 1984. It's amazing how far we've come with that price structure.
Just incredible, Rob. And, we get a lot of chances to play golf. I can't believe that there's so many golfers in our state and so rabid that are paying and are playing, 20, 30, 40, 50 rounds a year, paying some of those prices. It just goes to show you how much people in our state love golf, because those courses are going to be crowded again this year, Rob.
They are. I played with a guy down here in Phoenix the other day, and he was talking about, he does one of those golf packages where you can play, you basically pay the cart fee and you get the round of golf free at some of the higher end courses that partner up with these various groups that offer it, and that's become very popular. And then you look at, the great success the WSGA has had with their senior tour. Retired golfers in the state of Wisconsin who are given the opportunity to play both high-end public courses and some of the great private courses around the state as part of that WSGA senior tour shows, really how into seeing all these great courses the real avid golfers are in the state. I think it's a tip of the hat to, really the passion that our golfers show.
And really kudos to the WSGA for landing some of the courses that they land for these events, because a lot of those courses, you wouldn't probably play or be able to play, but then you enter these senior tour events or the Scramble Series or the Net Partners, and you get to play some great golf courses that you might not otherwise see.
Absolutely. And of course, you have a chance now, the registration open for a lot of these events at WSGA.org. And if you haven't checked those out, do so, because as Gary said, there's a great opportunity to play a lot of those under the guise of a competition. But, Gary, we know the guys that play in those tournaments, they're all fun guys. You're basically keeping score, but you're out there to play these courses, have a good time, meet new people. And that seems to be what draws, especially that senior tour group to want to play in so many of those.
Yeah, the senior tour and the Net Partners, as long as you have a handicap, establish a handicap index, no matter almost no matter what your handicap is, you can find a place to play in tournaments. And I entered, you know, the Racine County Open last year. I played some net partner stuff, and it's just so much fun to compete, Rob. Even no matter what your level is, when you're up against people in your stratosphere, it's just fun to compete. And I'm planning on entering a few tournaments this year again.
Well, that'll be cool. We should also mention too, the Summer Scramble Series, new to the WSGA portfolio of tournaments. If you don't feel confident on your own ball, get yourself into that Scramble Series thing, because then you can maybe sort of ease your way into competitive golf that way. And which is why they've kind of they've introduced competitive golf through that format, which is a very easy, relaxing format, but on very hard and difficult and popular golf courses. So it'll be interesting to see how that takes off this year as well. This is Talking.Golf here. Talking.Golf sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. With that season coming very, very fast, check out the Golf Performance Program at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. You can do that by calling Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website, www.elitesportandspinewi.com, and click on the Golf Performance Training tab for more information. Don't forget, call Elite Sport and Spine. Tell them you heard about the program from Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for telling them that you heard all about the Golf Performance Training Program at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield right here on Talking.Golf. Gary D'Amato, a couple of the stories that you wrote this week to get to. One in particular, good friend of both of ours, Carl Yunus, the latest in your Legends of Golf series. And Carl is someone who really has touched golf at all levels in Wisconsin, longtime club pro, very successful player in his own right. At one point, involved with the Golf Foundation of Wisconsin. What did you learn from absorbing your conversation with Carl? Because that's a guy that is just full of golf knowledge.
Yeah, boy, he's been around a long time, Rob. In our state, and even before that, you know, he's a Cleveland native. And I love doing these Wisconsin Legends series because I learn about these guys that are legends in our state. We know what they've done in our state. But for instance, Carl, before he even came up to Wisconsin, won the Ohio State Amateur, a tournament that Jack Nicklaus never won, by the way. And Arnold Palmer also won the Ohio State Amateur when he was stationed in the Coast Guard in the Cleveland area. So Carl was joking. He was saying, I've got my name on a couple trophies with Arnold Palmer. That's not a bad guy to be on a trophy with, right?
No, not at all. And especially this the Arnold Palmer Invitational going on. It's, you know, we remember the king. And I'm sure in Carl's era, the king was king. And, you know, nothing against Jack Nicklaus. But, you know, we all have our idols. I thought it was interesting that there was that connection there. Carl also, you know, I think influenced a lot of people in Wisconsin without maybe us knowing that he was that influence. And maybe talk a little bit about what he's done, you know, a longtime club pro at the old Brynwood Country Club. And, but then also, you know, just his contributions to the Wisconsin PGA have been enormous.
Yeah. You know, former WPGA president, as you mentioned, he ran the Golf Foundation of Wisconsin in its early days, helped launch the first tee program in Wisconsin, which now David Cohn runs and has become a very successful chapter, Southeastern Wisconsin first tee chapter. A longtime teacher. He's taught a bunch of players over the years, from beginners to Mike McDonald, who went to Marquette and won a state amateur, and Tina Kosinski, who was a women's player of the year. So, yeah, he's had his hands at every level of golf, from administrative to teaching to playing. And it's a shame. I don't think we saw the best of Carl as a player because he moved here, you know, and took a club job and worked hard at Brynwood. But boy, when he turned 50 and played in the senior stuff, Rob, he cleaned up. He won a bunch of senior stuff in the section.
And going back to your days at the Journal Sentinel, helped launch the Journal Sentinel Junior Golf Tournament, which I think has morphed into probably one of the events on the WPGA Junior Tour. But I can remember, you know, the kids from Madison would always come down to the Journal Sentinel tournament because it was one of the bigger events in the state.
That was a big deal to win that tournament. Yeah, that was back in the day when there was a ton of stuff to play in for juniors around the state. And that was a big one. And you're right, Rob, everybody played in that tournament. The Junior Masters, the Milwaukee Journal, Sentinel or Journal in the old days. Yeah, those were big events for juniors in Wisconsin.
The other thing in your Legend series, Carl embodies the character of a golfer. I mean, the guys you've talked to, you know, the Archie Dadians, these are guys that not only played the game well, but enjoyed doing it and really enjoyed the friendships that were made. And Carl's the kind of guy that, I don't know, you know, you got a chance here to sit down and spend time with him. I think everybody would be wise or benefit from, you know, a 30-minute post-round audience with Carl Yunis because, boy, he's got so many great stories to tell.
Yeah, just a perfect gentleman. I mean, he's the epitome of the PGA professional, Rob. Just a class act. And one thing I didn't mention was it's in the story that he made the cut in the 1967 U.S. Open. It was Lee Trevino's first U.S. Open and Ben Hogan's last U.S. Open. And wow. Carl Yunis qualified at Chicago Golf Club in sectional qualifying, and went down and played. I think it was at Baltusrol. Jack won that year. And Nicholas and Carl made the cut, and he was an assistant. He was a first year assistant at Ozaukee when he did that. Not too many assistant club professionals make the cut in the U.S. Open, Rob.
Not at all. That is pretty cool. Well, if you haven't checked it out, Gary's legend story on Carl Yunis up at Wisconsin.golf. Gary, as we look ahead to next week, first of all, we've got a lot of tournament golf going on this weekend. We've got Tess Hackworthy making her Epson Tour debut for the 2022 season. She was even par at the turn today and still even par through 12 holes, ran into a tough stretch on the back nine, but they're playing down in Winter Haven, Florida, and she winds up finishing with a 76. She was, I think, T106 when she left the course. She's now T85. That tells you it's also challenging to play golf in Florida this weekend.
It looks like it, Rob. You know, I'm headed down there next week, and I hope I get some non-windy days because I'm hauling the clubs along, and I'm going to play a couple of rounds of golf. But, yeah, it was. It looks like it might have been a tough conditions down there, but I'm guessing it was pretty windy.
But she was, again, 76, and right now Min Ji Kim's 500 par 67 in the lead down there is the Florida's National Charity Classic. We have a rare PGA Tour start for Skip Kendall. Did you catch that one, Gary?
Opposite
field event down in Puerto Rico. He struggled to a 79 yesterday, bounced back, I believe, with a 72 today. He'll miss the cut, but it's always fun to see these opposite field events because while this Arnold Palmer Invitational is going to capture the attention of the mainstream golf fan, there are so many great storylines of people trying to use the Puerto Rico Open to kind of, you know, improve their status. And while that's not necessarily Skip's motive for entering, he was kind of, you know, he was a last minute substitution for a late WD, and his status got him in. It's neat to see Skip get that opportunity every once in a while.
It is. You know, a couple of years ago, we wrote stories about Skip saying he was a little burned out on golf. He was going to concentrate on being a teacher and opening an academy. And he had some pretty good players that he was working with. And I think he's got the itch to play again, Rob. We saw that he barely missed qualifying for the Champions Tour last year and Champions Tour qualifying. And it looks like he's looking for opportunities to play, and good for him. Why hang it up if you still got game, right?
Absolutely. And for the first time in several years, I'm not spending my first Friday in March at the Hogue Classic in Newport Beach, California. I didn't last year either because of COVID. It canceled the tournament, but Jerry Kelly, as we record the podcast here on a Friday, currently 3-under par through 14 holes at Newport Beach Country Club. And he is just 4 shots behind Cameron Beckman, who has the clubhouse lead at 7-under par 64. Jerry with a great finish last week over at the Kolegard Classic in Tucson. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 2 holes in 1 over the weekend, 1 on Friday, 1 on Sunday. And Jerry playing well all of a sudden, and he seems to be having fun again playing golf.
Yeah, Rob, you know, you've written about it quite a bit. He's talked about how healthy he is, how he feels good. This is the best he's felt in years. And Rob, as you know, when you get to be on the senior tour, you know, everyone has little aches and pains, and the guys who can manage their injuries and play through them and not get hurt too badly are the guys who have success. And Jerry feels great, and it's showing it. I mean, his results are showing that he's in a good mood and feeling great. I think he's got a string of top 10 finishes, probably due for a win one of these days.
So we'll continue to monitor him. I don't know if you saw too, in the run-up to the Hogue Classic in Newport Beach, Freddie Couples, who is a Newport resident now, got married again this week along the shores of the Pacific Ocean. I tell you, the guy is ageless, and he got married in golf shoes. I don't know if you saw the picture.
I did not. I'm going to have to go look for that. Wasn't he, I think he wears Echo shoes, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's his one of his sponsors.
I think you're right. And so it was just, again, as per Freddie Couples, relaxed, cool, and, you know, everything that is, you know, Newport Beach was in that picture. It was a very small wedding. Obviously, he's been married before, and former AmFam champion and maybe one of the more popular players on the PGA Tour champions. Everybody loves to see Freddie Couples swing the golf club.
Timeless golf swing. Boy, I wish I could swing a club like that. I'm everybody does, I know. I just love watching Freddie. I mean, you just it doesn't look like there's any effort at all involved in that golf swing, and he pounds the ball, Freddie Boom Boom. So good for Freddie. Married, hitched again. Good for him.
Hitched again. I was going to mention too, they posted the fields for the two Canadian Tour qualifying school legs next week. One's at Howie in the Hills, Florida, just west of Orlando, and the other is in Alabama, I believe, on the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. Get this. I think I've covered everybody here. Zach Murray, the state open runner-up from last year, Jordan Niebrugge, John Langhoff, Thomas Longvella, George Kneiser are at the one in Howie in the Hills, and then Sam Anderson, Griffin Barella, and Harrison Ott, the Vanderbilt senior, who mentioned to me at the Patriot All-American he was going to try to play in one of the Canadian Tour qualifiers in between the Commodores tournaments on his schedule here in his senior season. He'll be playing there. I ran into Jordan Hahn at the Badger Women's Golf Tournament over here in Peoria, Arizona on Monday, and he said he plans to play mostly on the Canadian Tour this summer. It could be a Wisconsin, heavy Wisconsin flavor up north. There's a lot of guys who have great potential to do great things in Canada this year.
Rob, we'll have to pack our bags and get up to Saskatchewan a couple times this summer, it sounds like.
That's right. Get the Wisconsin.golf covered wagon, right?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's good for those guys. Hopefully we get a couple of them make it through, and we can follow their progress up in Canada.
And actually, I did see something on the Canadian Tour website this year. There was an event that Neil Johnson was going to help kind of get off the ground. It was an old Dakotas Tour event that he was going to, they were converting into a Canadian Tour event. That one will be in Minnesota. It's one of the first events that they've had south of the border under the Canadian Tour umbrella. Of course, this past year, they had the Forum Tour. That was the Canadian Tour for American golfers who couldn't get into Canada because of COVID. So that might be one where if we can get some of these guys through the Canadian Tour, that we might have to dispatch one of us to go check that one out. But, you got to start somewhere, don't you, Gary? I think it's the with Canadian Tour, the winner gets fully exempt status for the entire year. And then numbers 2 through 6 get exempt status for at least half the year. And then 7 through 30, I believe, conditional status to fill fields. But again, status is ever changing on these PGA tours, because once you win on the Canadian Tour, you almost, you know, are in a position where you can qualify for events on the Korn Ferry Tour. You start playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour is not too far away. It's easier for us to say that than it is to actually do that. But that's the idea.
Yeah, serious competition on the Canadian Tour. I mean, you look at the people who have come out of that tour. I mean, Stricker got a start in Canada, right? Mario Tiziani had a lot of success in Canada. And a lot of guys playing the tour started in Canada. So, yeah, it's a great tour, because it's a developmental tour, but you're just this close to the Korn Ferry or the PGA Tour. 72 hole tournaments with cuts and playing against a lot of guys who are fresh out of college and, you know, champing at the bit to make a big tour. So hopefully we'll get a couple guys on that tour and they'll have some success, Rob.
Next time you talk to Steve, Gary, ask him for some Canadian tour memories, because it was a lot different when he played back there, you know, for very small purses. My mom and dad actually went and watched him play one time over in Windsor, Canada. And, you know, it was, it made the Wisconsin State Open look like a major, because there just weren't a whole lot of people there. But as you said, you know, he went from turning pro to winning an event early in his career. And, you know, I really thought that was the confidence that Steve Stricker needed to validate, as all, you know, young golfers that age do, you know, that this move you're making from college to professional golf is the right one. And, you know, no matter what purse he was playing for, I think the confidence was something that carried him forward in his career.
Yeah, no doubt it was a springboard for him, as it is for a lot of guys. Yeah, you went on that tour and you've beaten a lot of really, really good players. And, you can hitch your wagon to that and say, I'm this close. If I can just get some status on one of the bigger tours, you know, I proved that I can beat the best of the best on this tour. I'm ready for the next step. And that was certainly the case with Steve back in the day. Back, boy, that was has like 92, maybe 93, right in there.
Even before that, I think he won on the Canadian tour in 1990, maybe 91.
Okay.
It was called the Payless Pepsi Open.
And, yeah.
And he managed to win that. And those were the days where they sent out news of that, Gary, in the mail. And I still have the release from that somewhere in my collection of crap. And you know, that was even before the fax machine and other things like that. So that was one for the ages. And that's kind of where it all got started. You know, speaking of Steve Stricker, any thoughts on Zach Johnson being named the Ryder Cup captain for next year?
Yeah, I mean, no surprise. I mean, Zach's been in the line of succession, you know, as an assistant captain several times. And he and Steve, I think, as people have pointed out, are pretty similar in personalities, you know, pretty low key, unflappable, you know, a lot of success, obviously, on the PGA Tour, still playing well and still in touch with, you know, friends with a lot of the younger guys who are going to be on that Ryder Cup team. So I thought it was a no brainer. I think, you know, all the guys have come out and said he's going to be a great captain, and there's no reason to think he wouldn't be.
So that was, and we're going over to Italy, right? Rome?
Yes, just outside of Rome, I think, for the next one. Yep. And by the way, Rob, the U.S. has not won on foreign soil in 30 years. It'll be 30 years when they go to Rome. So that's some pressure on this team. Boy, we saw they responded at Whistling Straits. Now they got to take it overseas and do it.
You think we saw the blueprint for that happening, you know, at Whistling Straits? Can that, I know that in France 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, it was, the course, a lot made of the course being set up to favor the Europeans and maybe take away some of the edge that the U.S. had. Can they do that again over in Rome?
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a good question, Rob. I'm sure that the Europe is going to, have narrower fairways and deeper rough to sort of take a little bit of the advantage away from the Americans, who are very aggressive and some of the bigger hitters on the planet. I think they're going to stick to the same formula, Rob. Zach Johnson said they're going to stick to having six captain's choices, which Steve Stricker got for the first time ever. And why change, right? You won 19-9. I don't think they're going to look to make too many changes in what's been working in that formula.
Well, something to keep an eye on. One last thing to get to. I did, as I mentioned, have a chance to go watch the Badger women's golf team over here at their invite that they host at Westbrook Village over in Peoria. And, you know, Gary, we cover a lot of tournaments every year. And I spent, 18 holes walking with going from group to group. I've never seen so many good golf shots in the span of 3 or 4 hours as I did the other day. They shot a season low 865. They had two gals in the top 10, Chloe Chan and Mackenzie Han. Their 1 and 2 golfers didn't have their best weeks, and they still, you know, had a great finish. College golf, not an easy task by any stretch of the imagination. You see a lot, if you go on the golf stat every week, there's a lot of red numbers everywhere. I was really impressed with the way that they gave themselves chances. And I'm excited to see what the Badger women can do here kind of over the next 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the Big Ten championships. I believe those will be in Pittsburgh. But, you know, you kind of sometimes forget about how good college golf is until you're there in person.
Well, that was a good story, Robin. What struck me about it, and maybe you can talk about this, is what a community event it is, right? I mean, it seems like where they play, the people on the golf course who live on the course just really come out in droves and support this tournament.
Well, you know, in the Phoenix area, you know, I'm a good example of that. It's a melting pot of people from all over the country that, you know, are looking to escape, you know, bad weather. And there were just an enormous number of Wisconsin flags, golf carts. You know, down here, if you don't have a Motion W on your golf cart, you've got a Packer logo or a Bucks logo, a Brewer logo. There's a lot of Wisconsin people down here. And I asked Todd Erline, are all these people really Wisconsin people? Or at Westbrook Village, which is a 55 plus community just north of State Farm Stadium, or have you converted them? He said, well, a lot of them are Wisconsin, but he's also converted a lot of people to be Badger fans. But to the community's credit, there are still a lot of, there were Gopher, you know, fans, there were Iowa fans. Both those teams were in the field. It seemed like everyone, you know, who was in the field had, you know, at least one golf cart with, you know, of support, you know, in terms of, you know, flags and logos. And that was pretty cool. And the other thing that was pretty cool is about how this tournament came to be. Todd Erline was an All-American basketball player at UW-Eau Claire and played for the legendary Ken Anderson. And when Todd, you know, he led UW-Eau Claire to great success with the golf program up there, and then got the Badger job, and 2 years in was looking for a place to play, and knew that Coach Anderson was down here living at Westbrook Village, and as was the father of Todd's college roommate, and between the three of them, they were able to get a dual meet off the ground. At first, it was a dual meet with Minnesota. Then Minnesota kind of wanted to go a different direction with their spring plans, so then it became a dual meet with Indiana. And then all of a sudden, the community asked about a full-fledged tournament, and it was about 10 years ago now that they got this thing off the ground as a multi-team tournament. Mississippi State won it this year, and there was a lot of spirit. Apparently on Sunday, I was there on Monday, but on Sunday, a lot of the backyards had music and, you know, fight songs, varsity, you know, on Wisconsin. You know, you've seen the waste management. You know, there's the music down here in Arizona seems to be a thing. And they certainly had the mojo going over at the Westbrook Invitational. And it was a fun day on Monday. Tom Schmidt, the former WSGA executive director on the rules, it was Wisconsin up and down. Everything is said, except that there was no a grill with brats, you know, cooking. Everything else, though, was all Wisconsin.
Home game in Phoenix. Gotta love it. Rob, I gotta move. I gotta move out your way one of these days.
Well, it was noted, Gary D'Amato, that next year Phoenix will play host to both the Super Bowl and the Final Four in the span of a couple months. So if the green and gold can get Aaron Rodgers back into the fold, and if somehow we can pay Johnny Davis enough money to stay in school for the Badgers, it'll be a big year down here in the Valley of the Sun.
Did you just say pay Johnny Davis enough money to stay in Madison?
Under NIL, Gary, of course, under NIL.
Oh, of course.
Name, image, likeness. Name, yeah. NIL. That all totally above the board there. Yeah. Yeah.
Heck, I'll buy an autographed jersey by Johnny Davis if that helps him stay in Madison. What the heck, right?
I don't think it's happening, but they've got Chucky, so we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's and you know, all this without spring training still. I hate to say it, but you know, we're missing our Brewers, the pitchers and catchers.
I'm disappointed, Rob. I'm headed to Florida next week. I was going to take in some spring training games, and that was kaput. So it's either the beach or the golf course now. But that's pretty good 1-2 punch, I think.
Well, I think so, and I think now I don't know if we'll do the podcast next week with you being in Florida, but we'll regroup. But when we do talk next, I want tangible, measurable evidence as to how your golf performance that you're doing with Elite Sport and Spine, what it really looks like on the golf course.
I'm really excited to try it out, Rob. You know, I've been hitting balls on TrackMan and, you know, doing a lot of work in the gym, and now I get to actually see what it's like on the golf course. it, you know, obviously there's going to be an adjustment period, and especially if I'm hitting my irons longer, you know, I'm going to have to learn how to reclub myself, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what I can do.
Well, we will regroup. I'm going to try to get rid of this Bell's palsy thing. It's still going on.
Yeah.
1 week into it. You can still tell perhaps in my voice, and I appreciate the, those who reached out after hearing about it last week. It seems like a lot of people have had it, so we're trying to get through it. So hopefully by the next time we talk, Gary's golf game, my speech will all be in a much better place. And we hope to have more golf courses open that we can talk about as well. So on that note, Gary, we'll call it a podcast and we'll talk again very, very soon.
All right, Rob, thanks a lot.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez. Talking.golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at EliteSportAndSpineWI.com and click Golf Performance Training. And don't forget, when you call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168, tell them you heard about the Golf Performance Program on Talking.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.